Jason Lacanfora is our NFL insider. Like everybody else, we're football fans, but we're also owners in a dumb fantasy football league. So we're scrambling around. We're trying to put things together and figure things out. The injuries massive in week two, and you keep the longer the week goes, fewer guys are practicing on Wednesday. We'll know again more today. But just it's a debilitating 10 days here for so many teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, the number of elite players who are out for some period of time, and in many cases for the season, it's for it to be this early in the season and so many guys to know that their year's done, it stinks. I don't know that there's, you know, a lot of people are kind of looking for cause and effect and commonality. I don't know, man. It's a really, really vicious sport, and you put your body through a lot and to play it, and injuries are inevitable, and a lot of these injuries were non-contact, and how many carries was Saquon Barkley going to get in the preseason? Like, do you really think they were going to expose him to these same risks then? Christian McCaffrey, I don't think he would have played at all in the preseason, even with a new offense and a new head coach and everything else. I think they know what they got there, and it's the very nature of football. How do you mitigate risk? You don't even play them in the exhibition games, by and large. A series here, a series there. So I don't know. I think, unfortunately, sometimes things just happen. And obviously, one of the real sort of subplots to last week was the number of debilitating injuries.
One of the injuries took place on a doctor's table, from all appearances.
Holy moly.
What's the potential for messiness with Tyrod Taylor and the Chargers here?
Well, we're not privy to all the details, and there's some, HIPAA laws and et cetera. So even when the NFLPA concludes its investigation, I'm not sure how many specifics they will allude to. But we have unions for a reason. And they're there to help make sure that proper health, safety protocols are in place, and that there isn't medical malpractice, and that someone isn't being subjected to undue risk or what have you. Now, these kinds of shots that he got are commonplace, and it is not out of the question for there to be a lung puncture from it. I mean, there is some degree of risk in that. They'll assess a timeline. They'll find out exactly how this came along and determine whether, in the estimation of the PA, there was some negligence or wrongdoing here. In the meantime, he's got to, Tyrod Taylor's got to get to the point where he's healthy playing. He feels like he's healthy enough to play again and not at further risk with anything in regards to his lungs or the pulmonary area. The ribs themselves is, probably something that if he didn't get that shot, he would have wanted to play this week. And I think they would have let him play. He would have got another shot if need be or what have you. But they would have continued to roll with him. Now that's out of everybody's hands for now. And Herbert will play. And, Herbert, I thought he played his backside off Sunday. I mean, he had no right playing that well, honestly, under the circumstances, with how he was thrust into that role without any preparation and having served, as the scout quarterback basically all week. I mean, getting, a few reps here and there, but it was all set up for Tyrod. So we'll see, what this week brings. Sometimes that scenario where you don't overthink it and you don't get too much time to prepare and you don't get in your own head, you just go out there and play, sometimes that's the best thing possible. And trust me, the Chiefs were not preparing for Herbert at all, and it caught them off guard. Now the Panthers are ready. I just don't know if the Panthers can stop anybody on defense. They haven't for a few years now. They haven't so far this year. So this might not be a bad matchup for Herbert.
Just following up on the doctor front and what may have been an accident, or was it a big negligence was the word you used. Adam Schefter tweeted out that the players do not have the right to seek legal action against team doctors. Is this another instance of the players getting rolled in a CBA wrinkle, or is this incredibly normal type policy for sports leagues to have?
No, I don't know that that's a lawsuit. is one thing, but they are, through the union, able to file grievances, okay. You know what I mean, and seek, you know, financial restitution or other forms of compensation for something like this. So, I mean, the NFLPA isn't investigating it, like, just to say they investigated it. You know what I mean? Like, okay. If they determined that there was negligence and they determined that the player was harmed in any way, then, you know, there are means for restitution. And I think it, even beyond that, it's more that does the NFLPA feel like this doctor could put other players at risk? And then do they, you know, put pressure on the team to assess their medical staff once again and you know, maybe recommend some changes? Can they force them to do that? No, but I think there's an element of optics and PR here as well, and also how things are going to play within the locker room. And unfortunately for that franchise, they have had a history of issues with team doctors, and you know, they've cycled through a medical team there for, you know, several times over the last decade.
The other LA team, Rams and Bills, looks like a juicy matchup. What have you seen from these two sides, and how does Josh Allen fare against that disruptive Aaron Donald in that D-line?
Yeah, it's certainly one of the more interesting matchups of the weekend. I think you're kind of flipping a coin here. Look, there's a lot I like about Buffalo, and I love what Josh Allen's doing. But I just don't know. I mean, I hold that defense to a really, really high standard. And I think they hold themselves to a really, really high standard. And I don't think they've met it yet, you know. And they almost lost that game to Miami. And in the second half, Miami was kind of bullying them around a little bit, which I didn't expect to see. The way the Rams move the ball down the field is very, very the pace they play with, the way they run that offense, which is to mitigate risk and to put Goff in situations to succeed, lot of high percentage passing. If they're able to command the ball and move it up and down the field, they can win this football game. And you know, Aaron Donald can wreck it on the other side. I may have undersold the Rams a little bit. I'm sort of reassessing where they are. And the other thing they do is they have like three or four running backs, and I don't think McVay really cares which one's in at any given time. They're all serving a purpose to kind of wear you out. And it is still early in the year, and you know, some of those big guys on defense, their conditioning isn't where it would normally be. And I think McVay is going to test out, you know, Ed Oliver and some of these guys and see how many snaps they have in them and see what it's like if we do run the ball 5-6 times in a row and then we hit a high percentage pass, you know, with Goff booted out a little bit and keep him away from some of the pass rushers. It'll be an interesting test for Buffalo's defense, and I'll be very interested to see how they respond. And look, Diggs has been a big difference maker for the Bills. They have a lot more there's a lot more speed and twitch to that offense, and Allen's played great ball to this point. So, yeah, I think they're two fairly evenly matched teams. I'm excited to see how that one plays out.
Jason Lockenfor, our NFL insider here on Sportsnet 960. A lot of the – when you talk about quarterbacks who are exciting to watch, you got Mahomes and Jackson and Watson, and they kind of take the headlines. How far are we away, or how close are we, I guess, to Kyler Murray being in that conversation? Because watching what he can do with his arm and with his feet, man – he's as exciting as anybody right now.
Yeah. No, if he's not in that conversation, then that's only because the people having that conversation haven't seen enough of him. Look, San Francisco week one was – okay, they weren't totally healthy on the offensive side of the ball, but they were pretty much who they're going to be on defense. And he got the better of them, especially in the second half. And, you know – Washington has some issues, but the front seven's not one of them. And that front seven absolutely ripped Carson Wentz's face off in the second half, week one. And Murray handled them and had them at bay, and he's making the big runs. And obviously he and Hopkins immediately are simpatico, and that's become one of the, you know, great duos in the league. Just, I mean, they've only played two games together, but my goodness. And look, I picked them to go to the playoffs. I thought they would surprise a lot of people. I wrote a lot that, hey, this guy's going to be a consensus top 10 quarterback by the end of the season. I don't think that's going to be under debate. I just didn't know about the defense. And I'm like, if the defense is just a tick better than last year, just kind of lean, takes a little bit of a lean towards mediocrity, they're in the playoffs. They've been better than that so far. We'll see. More tests are to come. That San Francisco offense was really limited by injuries in week one. Washington's offense is limited because it doesn't have any good players outside of one receiver. So we'll see. But if the defense is league average, then I think Arizona becomes a really interesting team in January.
How are the Bears 2-0, and are you buying it?
No, I'm not buying it. No, I'm not. They've played two really bad football teams. I mean, the Bears have played two teams that will be picking in the top five again. That's the reality. And they still, it took a pretty remarkable confluence of events to beat the Lions, including an absolute gift touchdown pass that was dropped late. And they got up early on the Giants and then still almost found a way to lose to that team when they lost Barkley. When receivers are dropping left and right, and, I'm not a big Daniel Jones guy, yet he had a chance with the ball in his hand in Bears territory late to win that thing with their best player out for the year. I have serious reservations about the Bears, and I don't think Mitch Trubisky is a starting NFL quarterback. I don't think the style of offense they run is very viable. They could play some ball on defense, And look, they're going to get a subsidy because that division's terrible. The Minnesota Vikings might be the worst team in football right now. Like, wow. You watch their film, I don't know what they do well. Like, I honestly, part of me thinks they feel like the first four games is still the preseason. I don't know what the hell's going on there. So, look, the Bears are going to get another bite at the Lions. They're going to get two bites at the Vikings, and we'll see if they can get anything turned around. So they'll get some more wins. But I don't buy them as being remotely viable as a contender in any way, shape, or form.
Seahawks-Cowboys looks really good, and Dallas is staring 0-2 in the face before that incredible rally where their win probability went from 2% to an actual win. Give us your thoughts on this one in the Emerald City.
Yeah, I mean, this all eyes will be on this game. Dallas is pretty beat up, and Seahawks don't have much of a pass rush, but if Dallas is playing without, their starting tackles again and a center who's still trying to figure it out, that's a problem. Russell Wilson's going to make plays on the Cowboys defense, and the Cowboys defense has major issues. It's obvious. They're beat up at the linebacker position. I think there's a lot of holes in that secondary. And we saw what Russell Wilson just did to arguably the best secondary in the league. Can Dallas's pass rush, offset some of that? Maybe, but I don't know about it being enough to win the game. So these are teams that have some flaws. I'm sure both these teams, for all that they've done, would love to be able to make another move or two between now and the trade deadline to address some things. But I think Seattle wins this football game. I think they're the better team. I think they're a little more well-rounded. And Russell Wilson's smart enough not to get baited into stuff. He knows how to elude the rush. He knows when to throw it away and live to fight another day. And I think he'll be victorious.
Has Vegas shown you enough to think that they got a fighting chance this weekend against the Patriots, or no? Because that was a surprising Monday performance, wasn't it?
They're nudging me in that direction. I still don't buy the defense. I just look over there and I don't. Max Crosby gets home every once in a while, but Farrell, I still really know what he is. The secondary is really young and already a little beat up, and they signed some linebackers, and they're already hurt and not on the field. So even with those guys, I have some questions. Darren Waller looked like an all-world player, and he's got amazing talent. And he caught 12 balls for 100 yards. Like, that's just Derek Carr. Like, they don't really push the ball down the field. You know, I don't really know what Ruggs is. He's been beat up. Is he just a decoy? The receiver out of South Carolina intrigues me. But I still think it comes down to Waller and Jacobs on offense, and I don't really buy the defense. So I'm still a skeptic on those guys. But I look, I may have fanned on them. I may have whiffed.
We got a game tonight, and it's fun. We were talking about quarterbacks and all these injuries. I'm guessing the Dolphins are nowhere close to trotting Tua out there. See, you know what I mean? He may not play all year the way it's going. But
I think he'll play, but I don't think they have any real designs on him playing the first, you know, 6 weeks at least. Let's see where we are, see how good we are, how is he progressing in practice, you know, where is that hip? And then at some point in the second half of the year, as long as there's no medical limitations, I think Tua plays, and I don't think they look back, and Fitz, you know, Fitzmagic is there just to mentor him. But it's all about Tua. My hunch has been that probably comes sometime in November. Maybe it's a little closer to Halloween or even just before Halloween. But I unless Fitzpatrick gets hurt, I think he's going to get at least 6 to 8 games.
And on the other side, Minshew mania. He had a great week one. I don't know what to make of the team. It sounds like Chark is maybe questionable for tonight. We'll see. But there's something about Minshew. He's going. Yeah. I feel like he's going to make this game fun to watch for us tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I'm absolutely with you. And that Chenault kid, the rookie, they're using him all over the place. Like, their offense is viable. They run the game pretty well. That Robinson kid is kind of interesting. The offensive line isn't great, but Minshew runs around so much and moves the pocket and buys time that it doesn't manifest itself the way it would if a Nick Foles was back there. I'm intrigued. I've been a Minshew guy all along. Last year when they benched him for Foles, I thought it was absolute lunacy. I'm sure we talked about it. Like, I don't get this. The other guy's a stiff. Your team has no right being anywhere around 500. The only reason they are isn't because you have talent. It's because this kid's keeping you in games that you probably should have been blown out in. I think he's a viable NFL starting quarterback. You know, his numbers at this stage of his career, like, they pretty much track what Russell Wilson. He's not going to be Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that in him. But you can do worse than Gardner Minshew. I don't know about the Jags on defense, but I don't know that they're going to be tested all that much by Miami either. You know, Parker's been beat up. I am genuinely intrigued by Minshew. I really enjoy watching him play. He brings an energy that everybody feeds off of on that sideline. And the Jags have been really impressed. They could have beat Tennessee. I mean, it took 2 50-yard field goals for them not to lose to Tennessee and for them to lose to Tennessee. Tennessee's a decent football outfit. So I like the Jags tonight, and I think Minshew will take advantage of this national stage.
Enjoy it, man. Have a great weekend. We'll catch up Monday. Thank you.
Sounds good, guys. Enjoy the games.